Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Hello, Calvary, and welcome back to episode 2 of this year's Summer Stories series as we continue digging into more of Jesus' time-tested parables. And as a lover of stories, man, I love this series because I love these parables so much. And you know what? The Summer Stories series is a great way to kick off our summer. It's going to be so many great things happening here at the church. We've got a popsicle pop-up every other week leading through both months of the summer. And then, of course, our big-time kids VBS summer day camp starts on the 25th. It's getting closer. Let me tell you, Tessa and the team of interns are very busy getting ready as things come together nicely. And then our much-anticipated summer speaker series is back through next month with a great lineup of friends of our church, people that have such a heart for Calvary. And so you're going to be so blessed. And everything kicks off with our very own Pastor Heather Roman on a very special worship Sunday on Sunday, August the 7th. So you're not going to want to miss any of these weeks. It's going to be a summer truly to remember. And of course, our Calvary groups, our small groups, are kind of on a modified summer schedule now. So some are still meeting, some will be having barbecues and fun events. There's something for the entire family, so get connected and be a part of what's happening here at the church. You know, I've been so blessed to see so many of you back in person. It's great to catch up, see faces that we haven't seen in such a long time. And I'm also very thankful for our Calvary Church Online team, as they work very hard every week to make our online campus such a fantastic experience. And so thanks to all of you as well for being here in person and online, worshiping with us each and every Sunday. God is truly doing some incredible things. You know, Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." He didn't say he would rebuild his church or he'd pick up the pieces, sadly. He said he will build his church. And he's still building his church through you and I. And that's a wonderful thing. God has an amazing purpose for your life. And wherever you are in that journey, wherever you are in the understanding of that, the key to moving forward in Christ is a next step. It's just taking one next step. Not all the steps at once, just one. Even today, take a next step where you can inquire about a small group, look into serving on one of our many Team Calvary teams. And you know what? Within a few months, you'll be blown away at how far God has brought you and your family in such a short period of time. You know, Nikki Gumbel once said that church is not something you go to, it's a family you belong to. And I think there's no greater tragedy than to hold within you the untold story of purpose. You need to live it, and you need to let it out among the people that God has called us to do life with in this community of faith, because we're so much better together. That's really what the kingdom of God is all about. Some of these small things that become huge things, like the relationships in our lives. Many small things can become either a big problem or a big blessing. I was mentioned last week that I was at the dentist and I hadn't been in a while. And so I kind of laid in the chair, reluctantly waiting for the question that my dentist asked me every time I come: "Have you been flossing?" Every time in my mind, I think, what should I say here? Am I going to bend the truth, stretch the truth? How, am I going to say sometimes? No, I just said, no, I haven't been. And she says, "You got to be flossing. It's very, very important. These little things add up over time." It's so true. Small things can become significant things in life and in the hands of God. So don't judge by what God is doing in the beginning stages. Wait to evaluate things as it comes near the end. Some things have hidden potential that you can't see until further, much further down the timeline. So those brief kind of blips in time can actually become bigger moments down the road, meeting someone for the first time and then finding out years later that it's your lifelong friend, or maybe someone that you're going to share your life with in a marriage. You just never know how these small encounters will go. Those small prayers that you pray that may result in a great move of God that you're a part of praying for. Or that little word of encouragement that you give to somebody in a moment and you don't recognize the weight of it. I was reminded of this just a couple of weeks ago. As you know, our family went back to Nova Scotia, to Halifax, for the celebration of life for my wife's brother, who passed away quite suddenly. And so you're here with the family, kind of grieving, working through this time as we comfort one another, as God comforts us. And it's in those moments you recognize that it's not always the profound words that you speak, but it's the small things like just being there, showing the strength that comes in the unity of family as we stand together. So never underestimate those small things. Jesus talked a lot about those small things. And as we look at the parables, Jesus was quite often talking and teaching about the kingdom. And now we come in Mark 4 to a parable about a seed. And so today Jesus is teaching us about the significance of those small things in a message that I'm calling the unexpected kingdom. You know, since starting this series, we've learned that a parable is literally something that's cast alongside of something else. So Jesus' parables were stories that were cast alongside a truth in order to illustrate that truth and make it clear to us so that we would understand. And there was nobody better at telling these stories. Jesus was a master storyteller. And hundreds, even thousands of people would come just to hear what he was saying, to hear some of these stories. And so this narrative theologian connected kingdom truth to everyday living. And the result was transformed lives. It was people growing in their faith. Parable is it's a object lesson that takes something physical in order to understand something spiritual. These parables give insight into what we cannot see by using the things that we can see. As a matter of fact, Jesus has already taught us that the kingdom's not so much something we can see with our eyes, but it is something that we can understand. And so stories like the mustard seed have stood the test of time and are still changing lives today, especially when we understand the significance of that seed at work. So let's look at what Jesus says about the kingdom of God in Mark chapter 4, and we're going to start reading at verse 30. Jesus said, "How can I describe the kingdom of God?" I think this is very interesting, the way this scripture starts, because we kind of get a glimpse at Jesus on the spot thinking about this. When he's saying, how can I describe the kingdom of God? He says, what story should I use to illustrate it? How best can I explain it to my disciples? How best can I explain it so that in the generations to come, it will continue to touch people? What object lesson am I going to use to help people understand? I think it's important for us to realize that when we're communicating God's truth, that we need to meet people where they're at, not where we think they should be going, in order to engage them in this story, in any story that we communicate to them. We're not looking to confuse them or to push them away. We're looking to capture their imagination so that they'll begin to ask questions and begin to push deeper into the truth. So then Jesus launches into this parable when he says that the kingdom is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. So there's actually really less of a focus on the size and more on the process, the healthy process of growth. Verse 33, Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand in the moment, right? There's only so much they could comprehend. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables or stories. But afterward, this is important too, When he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. So capturing people's attention is a great thing. Communicating knowledge is important, but what's even more important is that people understand, that you and I understand. So this parable is actually taken from the same chapter where Jesus is comparing the kingdom to seed. As a matter of fact, in a couple of stories just before that, he said the kingdom of God is like a farmer sowing seed, right? Landing on different types of soil, yielding different kinds of results depending on what that soil is like. Then he tells them that the kingdom of God is like a growing seed. Just like seeds of faith in our lives require this same repetitive, faithful, and persistent care and time spent in the word, he compares the two. So it's quite likely that Jesus tells the mustard seed parable as a follow-up to these other two stories about the kingdom being compared to a seed. Now, for me, I kind of get the impression when I'm reading this that he may have required a little bit more teaching for them to understand. Maybe he required one more parable, like this mustard seed parable, for them to get it. Because maybe he was looking at blank stares. Maybe he was looking into the eyes of people that were going, what? That's not what we expected to hear about this incredible kingdom. They're talking to us about seeds. Like, they're still trying to catch up with their own personal expectations. It's kind of like giving directions to someone who doesn't know the area that you're in. It's like somebody coming into the church parking lot, asking for directions to a particular place, and then looking back at them and saying, okay, so go up the driveway, turn right on 104th, go down to the lights, turn left on 160, go to the next set of lights, turn right on 104th, go up until you get past the Save-On, and then turn right again. And then you're going to be in the general area of where you want to go. And you look at them because they don't know the area or the streets that you just rhymed off, and so they look more confused than ever before. We have this blank stare looking at us. As a matter of fact, in some occasions, I've said to people, you know what, forget it, I'm headed that way myself, just follow me and I'll show you the general area. Because you get to a place where you're kind of frustrated. You're trying to help, but you see that it's just not sinking in. You know, I think maybe Jesus kind of shares that similar frustration in this moment when he's trying to teach heavenly truth to earthly minds. Maybe he too was being received with some blank stares from certain individuals. But a mustard seed is so tiny that you can actually hardly see it. But this small, insignificant seed leads to an incredibly significant plant that provides life for so many. And as Christ followers, it's very important that we understand the kingdom of God, that we understand how it works. We know, coming this far for many, that it involves how we come to Christ. It involves what salvation is all about, how we grow spiritually, how we as believers kind of have an idea of where we're headed. The kingdom of God is dealing with how God has saved us from the penalty of sin, talking about its power and its presence in our life and the liberty that comes through Christ's sacrifice. The kingdom of God also deals with God's reign and his authority and what that authority looks like in our lives as we follow him. But the parable here of the mustard seed teaches us about how the kingdom of God spreads from one person to another, how it spreads from one generation to the next, or one nation to another nation. It's really about the advancement of God's kingdom, moving his plans forward, and how God uses what seems like little things to accomplish much, much bigger things further down the road. So, what's the point of Jesus' story? Is he just a really big fan of mustard? Because personally, I'm not. It's not my cup of tea. But there's more to what Jesus is trying to say. And so, what can we learn from God's kingdom from this parable? Well, the first thing that we can take away is that God's kingdom is unexpected. You see, the reason Jesus, I think, in that moment is searching for the right story, the right object lesson to communicate what the kingdom is like, is because I think many of the disciples, and maybe even some of us today, still have a wrong view of what the kingdom really was. See, they had an expectation, somewhat like we do. And so Jesus realized that he needed to correct that. He needed to correct this misaligned view of what many of them were thinking the kingdom was. You see, some people thought that the kingdom was this incredible fortress or a castle, you know, surrounded by guards and commanding the greatest army the earth has ever seen. Some people thought that the kingdom would be a political force that would finally right all the wrongs. But it was wrong. Their perception, their expectation was wrong on every count. You see, this and those things of power and strength and military force, that was what many of them were expecting. But instead, in this moment, Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a tiny little mustard seed. Not quite what they were expecting, not nearly as exciting. He uses the unexpected image of something small to teach us about something bigger than we could fully even comprehend with our limited understanding. You see, they were expecting a global empire, not a tiny seed. Matter of fact, they were probably hearing the story going, we can't brand a tiny seed. It's not going to look good on a shirt or a hat or on all our website material. A tiny seed, nobody's going to be intimidated by that. But see, Jesus was bringing about an unexpected kingdom, something that looked much different. Matter of fact, in some people's eyes, even today, the kingdom of God seems small. It seems insignificant. And at times, not even noticeable. But God's kingdom likes to take small and unexpected things, just like you and me, and use them for great and mighty things. And we see this over and over in Scripture. You know, when a huge crowd gathered and was following Jesus, the disciples started to panic. They're like, how are we going to feed all of these people? We're going to have a war on our hands if we don't figure something out. Jesus was trying to help them to understand that a little in his hands was a lot. And so in the moment, Andrew spoke up. And in John 6:9, he says, there's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? So Andrew was speaking up with a solution, but he was already shooting it down when he started to look at the size of the crowd. You see, a little is a lot in the hands of Jesus. Jesus took a small boy's lunch and used it to miraculously feed thousands of hungry people. God took a small family to build a massive ark to survive a great flood. God used one forgotten man named Moses who lived in the wilderness to lead God's people out of slavery. We see it time and time again, this story. God used a young boy with a slingshot and a small, smooth stone to defeat a very big giant named Goliath. And God used a little baby, tiny baby born in a stable to change the world, to completely save that world. God's kingdom is unexpected. You see, don't judge the kingdom by how it starts, but by how it ends. The story is far from over. Second thing that we see is God's kingdom is growing. The kingdom of God is growing. Jesus goes on to say in verse 31 that it is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade. So let's kind of break down this verse a little bit. Is it, even though the mustard seed is very small, that's true, it's actually not the smallest seed in the world. But to Jesus and to the people that were surrounding him, the people he was talking to, it was the smallest seed that they knew of and that they used on a maybe a daily basis. But to the people Jesus was talking to, they needed to understand. That's why Christ told these stories, to connect with them in their daily lives. And because it was a common seed and because of its size, it became, in some of these scriptural references, the symbol of what was very tiny. As a matter of fact, it takes 750 of these tiny seeds to make a single gram. So it's a very small seed, trust me. But Jesus decided that this tiny mustard seed was the perfect illustration to help his disciples, to help you and I understand something very important about the kingdom of God. And that's this. Quite often, it's the little things that God uses to make the biggest difference. Jesus then goes on to say that it becomes the largest of all these garden plants. See, when this tiny mustard seed is planted in good ground, it produces these very large kind of shrub-like plants that eventually grow big enough to even look like a tree. Some of them are 15 to 30 feet high. And this plant provides shelter. It provides food. It provides medicine when those seeds are ground up. And so again, it's this picture of something very small becoming very large, something that didn't seem significant at the beginning that grows into great significance. Look at the spread of the gospel. It started with 12 men who most people wouldn't have trusted with such an important message. It started small, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and it's still reaching our world today. The same is true for you and I. Sometimes we feel insignificant, right? Sometimes we feel small, like we could never truly make a difference. But God decided to save you, to fill you, to give you a new heart, a new mind, a new purpose. He put a new direction in your life. So don't focus on the size of you. Focus on the size of the God who will use you. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." And then finally, number 3, God's kingdom is influential. You know, the truth is, you and I can only understand so much, whether we're listening to a message or whether it was the people that surrounded Jesus in that day, and God knows that. And Mark tells us in verse 33 that Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach people as much as they could understand. I think some people were like, okay, that's all I can handle for the day, right? I'm still trying to process that. But throughout your life, God will teach you his word. He'll teach you the truth that he wants in your life as you study it, as you spend time. He'll use stories and illustrations and these parables to help you understand everything that you need to know. So here's my encouragement to you today. Stay faithful. Keep following. Keep learning. Keep growing. Stay committed to that process as a student and a follower of Christ. Let God's word influence your thinking and your living. Mark 4:34 goes on to say that, in fact, in his public ministry, talking about Jesus' public ministry, and I think it's important to understand that Jesus had both a public ministry and more of a private one with his disciples, that in his public ministry, people gathered all kinds of different types of people, and that's where he used stories the most. Very similar to how we gather as a church family and use illustrations to help teach and connect people with the word, whether they're advanced in their knowledge, just beginning, or they don't know anything, there's something that everyone can connect to, or at least they should. It goes on to say he never taught without using parables, but afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. Gathering in public is very important for the development of our faith as disciples. But equal to that is the balance between the time that we spend alone with God, the time we spend alone studying his word, allowing Jesus through the Holy Spirit to help us to understand, to explain the things that maybe initially were confusing. Listen, be a forever student. A student of his word, and let those words influence the way that you live and grow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the word. We thank you that this tiny seed in our life grows and develops, and that, Lord, your kingdom, your way of doing and being right will be reflected in how we live. That, Lord Jesus, we would develop not only to be influenced by you, but to influence the world that's around us, to know, Lord Jesus, that in your commitment to us is a commitment to see us continue to grow. that those seeds would be watered and developed, and that, Lord, you would continue to use us as we grow with you. And Lord, we know that many times we have our own expectations. The world has their expectations of what you are about, of what the kingdom is about. But we are forever thankful that the unexpected is really the truth. That, Lord God, those things that we underestimate, that, Lord, when you are involved, you can take a little and make an incredible impact. So use us today, Lord. I pray for everyone listening today, everyone gathering to hear this message, that, Lord Jesus, if they do not know you, that today you can. Today it can be that next step I talked about earlier in the message. Take one step forward. The first and best step you could ever make is to say yes to Christ, to recognize that he gave his life so that you could live yours. And you can do that today. You can do that by praying this simple prayer. Would you pray this with me? If you never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, pray this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I recognize who you are, what you did for me, that you gave your life on Calvary's cross, that you shed your blood, and you died so that I could live. You've forgiven me of my sin and given me a new hope, a new chapter. Help me to live that life. Be my Lord and Savior, and help me to spread the truth of the kingdom wherever I go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God's best, Calvary. We'll see you again next week.